Good afternoon, brethren. And once again, the Lord has enabled us to come together after the glorious time that we have in His presence this morning, feasting on Him, remembering Him, exalting Him in our prayers and praise, and so on and so forth. It is wonderful. This afternoon, thanks, you see, I got so accustomed to it that I'm not remember, so I have it on. We're going to be looking at Restore Such a One. But just for the background, why there was a need to restore such a one, I'm going to invite us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And I would let everybody find that passage. And I will read from verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourn, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I am verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I was present concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be new lump, may be a new lump, as ye all are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye need go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or railer, or drunkard, or extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are outside? Do we not judge them that are inside? But them that are outside, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 2 rather. And I start reading from verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that on the contrary, he ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrows. Wherefore, I beseech you that he would confirm your love towards him, for To this end also did I write, that I may know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake, forgive it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his device, his devices. And then I will read a verse over in chapter 7, a verse or two. I'll read from verse 10. For godly sorrows worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrows of this world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that he sorrow about, a godly sought, that he sorry after a godly sought, what carefulness it wrought in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. I'll just stop there and go to one final passage, that is in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The subject before us is restore such a one. But as I say before we get into the matter of restoring such a one, we must see the failure that came in, that caused such a one to become in need of restoration. And that we start off with in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, a common report, a thing that was reported commonly, and this is not just among the saints, I do not take it, but it seems like, because many of the time, what is going on amongst the saints is known on the street, even before many of the saints come to that knowledge. But something that was reported commonly, and there are many things that the saints at Corinth brought to the attention of Paul. And perhaps, I have no doubt, this was one of those things that they brought to him that was reported commonly. And the saints and the apostle have to rebuke them for it, because they did not adopt the right attitude. The sin, the man was committing fornication with his father's wife. And the saints knew about it, and they did nothing about it. That was bad. What kind of man it was, it is left for speculation. Maybe he was a prominent man among the saints there at Corinth, a teacher perhaps, a lecturer, one who speak well. But it seems to me that it could well be a prominent person. And the saints were afraid to touch him or to touch even the Father. So everybody keep quiet, because this person was considered to be up there, it seems. When the apostle heard of it, he said, I have judged, although I'm not there. He judged the matter, and as an apostle, he have apostolic authority to give them direction what must be done. But I do not think that it was because they were ignorant as to what should be done, but they were afraid. There are two persons that the apostle has to deal with. One, he put him out. Alexander, the apostle take apostolic authority and put out that person. None of us can do that as individual, no matter how wise and how whatever else we are. We cannot put out anybody out of fellowship as an individual. And we cannot receive anybody into the fellowship as an individual. It's an assembly decision, not an individual decision. So, but the apostles say there is a fault with you because you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. Whenever it comes to discipline, the assembly are to mourn. The assembly are to, in the case of the leper, when it is suspected in a house, they scrape the wall. All the wall around is scraped. They even take out stone if it necessary and put in new stone and mortar. And end up that they might even knock down the whole building if it reached there. Leprosy in a house. So if there is sin among the saints need to humble themselves and judge themselves in the matter and get very low before the Lord. It's a time of sorrows. It's a time when you're going to cut off one of your hand or finger or whatever part of you. But you're going to cut off a member of your body. Not that you're going to throw it away. That's not the idea. Discipline has to do with training. But that person, and I must tell you, even the person who is under discipline, that same person is in fellowship. That same person is at the Lord's table. But they are not privileged to eat of what is on the table, to eat the supper that I'm referring to. Yeah. So that person must be put away from among yourself, a little leaven the whole lump. The Lord used that in regard to the scribe and Pharisees. The Lord used that in regard to political wickedness and religious wickedness and moral wickedness and doctrinal wickedness. So the apostle brings that in. He said, a little leaven at the whole lump. And so we have to watch against leaven, and this was moral leaven among the saints, and it will spread. If we let this man go and don't deal with it, it will spread to the other saints in the fellowship and even beyond. So the attitude, a preferred attitude, would be to mourn and weep and humble oneself before the Lord in this matter. The apostolic judgment is that you put away that person. He says, for I verily am absent, verse 3, in body, I'm present in spirit. have judged already as though I was present concerning him that has done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how it is done. The assembly is convened and the presence of the Lord is acknowledged. It's an assembly meeting with the power of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul said also that he would be there in spirit. Let me find that. Let me see that. It says, with my spirit. He was there in spirit. And the Lord was there. And it is on his authority that this is going to be done. To deliver such an one unto Satan. That is what they were going to do. Deliver him unto Satan, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. When we put one out of the fellowship, that one is delivered to Satan. It is not like today when you put out one and you go somewhere else and find another group to fellowship with. And that group would be in error. You know, at Goshen, person left other group and come to us. And we ask them, why do you leave? And they say, so and so. We say, all right, we go have to meet with your pastor, with your leader there. And we have done that. In another, I can remember a case where one sister was coming, and when I says, we go have to meet with your leader, you could see the visible fear in her. She didn't want to meet with her leaders. Because we want to make sure that the one body is kept. The truth of the one body practically is kept. So we don't just receive you because you could be running from discipline over there and coming to us. So we say we want to meet with those in the fellowship that you are coming from. And that's how we do it. That has been our practice. So that to deliver such a one unto Satan, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. Once you put the person out, is in Satan's territory, is in Satan's hand. And Satan will buffet that one and bring that one down. And when Satan finished beat him, he might humble himself and come back. That is the purpose of discipline, is for training. And so no matter whether it is a family member, it could be I have two sons and a daughter, it could be one of them. The discipline of the Lord must be carried out. Moses stood in the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. The tribe of Levi came out to him. He said, gird on your sword and go back in and kill every man, his brother. And they did so. Some 3,000 souls died that day. Persons died that day. So that it is not looking in face. It's not looking in faces. And say, no, this one is my friend. This one is my relative. I can't touch him. Mm-mm. Once a thing is proven, and once a judgment is done by the assembly, it must be carried out. The assembly is the highest court in the land. Yes, I say that again. Higher than the Supreme Court. Higher than the Privy Council. And there is no other court to appeal to than the assembly. The same assembly that put you out, the same assembly alone can receive you. So, the apostle instructs them. The apostle rebukes them. The apostle gives them direction in how to discipline, how to carry it out. And then he tells us in verse 11 how to treat the man who is put out. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you, Well, he said he had written an epistle before. But now I have written unto you, not to keep company with any man that is called a brother. Call a brother, be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, extortioner. No, with such a one, not to eat. So you do not keep company with somebody who is put out of the fellowship. You don't go and, you don't socialize with them. One dear sister, we bring the scripture to her, she says she's going to marry. I said, who are you going to marry to? He says, she tell me so-and-so. I say, is so-and-so a Christian? He says, no. Well, then she invites us to her wedding. Of course, I talked to her about that. This is a gap that I did not tell you, but there's a gap where I counsel her. Be not unequally yoke and so on and so forth. But then she invites us to the wedding, and we say, no, we can't come. But not only so, she was put out of the fellowship. She was put out because fornication was involved. And so it's not only the unequally yoke, but she was put out of the fellowship. So we say, no, we can't fellowship with you. Marriage is a time of fellowship. We cannot go there and fellowship with somebody out of fellowship. And so, it might seem hard. My own sister came to my house. And she was in sin. She professed to be a believer. Not in our gathering. But I know she was in sin. And I said, sorry. She get food and so on. And my wife prepare everything. But she alone eat. I don't eat with her. Because she's not in fellowship. It's hard for me to say, I can't eat with you. But that is what the scripture teaches. That all social contact with that person must be cut. There is only one thing that we see where the person in Israel has been put outside the camp. The priest, the high priest, can go there to him or her. And examine. So the Lord also have brothers among us who will touch ground with the person who have been put under discipline to find out where they at. In days gone by, that was clearly necessary because the understanding is that you sit at back bench and every Sunday you come and take your place at the back bench. So the brethren was there to watch you and to see what progress you're making. Are you taking out your hymn book and reading and singing? Are you taking out the Bible and reading? As for the sister, are they coming with their head covering and putting it on? You watch those things and see what progress is being made. Nowadays, they're left and they're gone. So you have to go after them and find out how things, how are you managing out there? I said, oh boy, it cannot be better, man. It's nice. He not ready yet. He not judge himself yet. When he judge himself, most time they break down in tears and say, I miss me brethren. I want to come back. And that's the time the brethren can begin to consider that person. The assembly judge those that are within the assembly. The Lord judge those that are outside the assembly, the unsaved man. He judged those. We are to judge the saints inside. We judge their works, their deeds. Their person is not what, their motive is not what we concern ourselves with. The Lord knows that. But we judge what we see, what we know, what we hear. Maybe I can go on now to the matter of restoration, which is the burden that is on the heart of the brethren. Let us go to scripture that we have read already, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And the first verse we read there was verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. The apostle wrote to them to discipline the man, but they were hesitant in doing so. No, they were hesitant to receive him, although he was clearly repented. He has clearly repented, but they were hesitant. They were not going forward at all. So the apostle said, the discipline that has been meted out to this man is sufficient. Now, when we discipline some, we know that in some other groups, not groups of brethren, but other religious places, for different offenses, it take 2 months. Take 6 months. 1 year. That kind of thing. There is no such thing among us. I have known people who have been out of fellowship for many years. But they are not fit to be received. Whenever the person is ready to be received, it can be seen. And there is no time limit. I have seen where the brethren receive persons like in a week's time after putting him out. Because the person is so broken up and so humble and agreeing with the brethren that he deserves it and so on. And that is what the brethren don't want you to grovel, you know. That's not what the brethren is about. It's not to make to walk over you and to make you feel like nothing. That's not it. It is a broken and a contrite heart the Lord will not despise. So the apostles say sufficient to such a one is that this punishment which was inflicted by the many, that is the assembly. Sometime in this discipline, you do not find everybody who will say amen. I have seen it. It is Brother Sansa who disciplined him. Although the whole congregation was there and the scripture read and they say amen. But when you get outside, it's a different thing. Brother Sansa, I would treat the matter differently. Those kind of thing. So, it is the many, not necessarily majority. That's not the idea either. So, because the assembly is not run, pardon that word, by majority. It is scripture. And what scripture say, all should able to say amen. It is the word of God. So then, the apostles say, "Which what is needed at this time, since the man has repented, is to do maybe about 4 or 5 things." Let me read. It says, "On the contrary," verse 7, "he ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest he Lest such a one be swallowed up with overmuch sorrows. Wherefore I beseech you that you confirm your love to him. For to this end did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So these are the things that needs to be done to a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who has been, who need to be restored. We are to forgive that person. We are to confirm our love to that person. And we are to, I'm sure there's another one, forgive, yes, comfort. We are to comfort that person. So these are the things that needs to be done to the person who desire restoration. Now, the person who desire restoration needs absolutely no referee. They don't need any referee. The person just have to go and meet with his or her brethren and say, brethren, whatever it was that you know, as the case may be, things change. I'm no longer living with this man. I am no longer stealing the things that are not mine. I am no longer drinking and getting drunk and lying down on the ground and so on and so forth. Whatever it might be, I thank you, Lord. I believe I am delivered. All right? If the brethren feel convinced that yes, it's true, then right away they can tell him that, okay, we will tell the rest of the brothers. And right away, the brothers will meet. And the assembly will meet. And it will be announced that such and such a day, brother or sister so-and-so will be received into the practical fellowship which once disciplined that one. So, when they, that is necessary because of the other verses that I have read in chapter 3 and chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7 rather, of 2 Corinthians and verse 11. Listen to this. He said, behold the same thing that ye be sorrow about, a godly sort. After a godly sort, I should read. What carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness. What clearing of yourselves. They clear themselves. What indignation against wrongs. What fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. What revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in the matter. The testimony of the Lord must not have a cloud hanging over it. It must be clear in any matter. And those are some other reasons for discipline. Is that the assembly might be clear, and the saints might be clear in the matter, that they are not under a cloud. Okay. I think that brother can come back in fellowship now, or that sister, because these are the steps that are given in Scripture that a person is restored. And in all of the attitude of the assembly is to show grace, to show compassion, but grace and truth must be balanced. It was balanced in one person, the Lord Jesus. It usually unbalanced in us, especially if it touches my family or my friend. It become unbalanced. And I have too much grace so that the person will say, oh, no, it's all right. Or if I have too much truth, you don't. And I stand up against the least little thing. But grace and truth, which was seen in the Lord Jesus, must be balanced in us. Look at the Lord Jesus. They brought this woman to him and said, we catch this woman in the very act. Of course, they set it up and come to tempt him. But they said they caught her in the very act of adultery. Now, Moses in the law said that such should be stoned, but we have such great respect for you. We don't want to do anything until we run it by you first. What do you have to say about it? The Lord demonstrate grace and truth. The Lord says, okay, stone her. Stone her. I heard Brother Kempton speaking on it. And it seemed as though, just as he was about to throw the stone, he said, hold on. Who going to cast the first stone? It must be the person without sin. Let the person without sin cast the first stone. So he fulfilled what part Moses gave and says, oh, stone her. But then he comes in grace. Woman, where are thine accusers? Has any man condemned thee? No man, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Beloved, the assembly is run. Pardon me that word again. The assembly is operated by grace. Countries are run by law. We are to, in everything, show grace to our one another. Now, before I sit down, which I'm about to do very shortly, I must bring in this one from St. Matthew chapter 18. St. Matthew 18. And I'm here touching on personal trespass. Verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he shall not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen or a publican, a heathen man or a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you are agree on earth as touching anything that he shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. At this time, I'm going to ask you to stand. Okay, so we kind of wake up him. So now, a brother and a brother, and a lot of this are to be done, individual to individual restoration. So somebody offend me. I must not go and tell another brother or another sister, as the case may be. I should find my way to that brother and tell him his fault. That's what we have? That's what we read? I think so. Yes. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, fine, everything done there, so you gain your brother. But if he will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So you take one or two more brothers, and you go and you say, brother so-and-so, your car bumps up in my car and damage it. So we need some recompense. I just pulled that one out of the hat. Is there anybody here got in an accident recently with another brother? No? All right, good. So now, so you have gained your brother, so you need not go any further. But then, if he says no one, you know, behave boisterous and that kind of way, you take one or two other brother and go to him. You're trying to win him. That is the spirit that you're going to him. You're going to him in the spirit of love, in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of grace. You are going to him like how Jacob went to Esau. You remember, apart from the things them that Jacob set out, we are told that Jacob bowed himself 7 times before he get up to Esau. Who did I say should do that? The one who offends? No. The one who was offended. You don't have to do it literally, you know. It's just the idea of your attitude, your spirit. I'm not telling you to go and bow down to man. They have this thing of Black Lives Matter and bowing the knee. I don't bow the knee to any man. I bow the knees to God. So I'm not saying that you should go and bow the knees. We don't want that. You're on either side. But in your spirit, you come down. If he neglect to hear these three, then tell it to the assembly. You see how before personal trespass, when it reached the assembly, after you have tried, you and the man alone, you take two more and you more or less drive your way. Then tell it to the assembly. When it get to the assembly, is the highest court, I say before, in the land. You don't have nowhere else to go. Once you reach there, you have reached the ultimate point. Once the assembly hear about it, and the assembly now is going to meet for a decision, and he called the brother. Say, brother, you car did get into accident with this brother and you were wrong. So you need to fix as whatever the assembly laid on the brother. And he said, no, not. I'm not doing that. In other words, he refused to hear the assembly. The next thing that we see is assembly action. The assembly take a decision to let this man be unto you like a publican. He's put out of fellowship. That is the last resort. He's put out. I know some of our brethren don't write it that way. But what are you going to do when someone defies the assembly? What are you going to do when he defies everything that you bring to reconcile him? The assembly must take an action of discipline, or if I use the word excommunication, the person is put out of the fellowship. So whether it is this man want to restore or it is a fornicator want to restore, but whoever it is that want to be restored, it doesn't matter. It's the same when it comes to the assembly judge, the assembly make decision. And if you're going to be restored, it's the same process, the assembly judge, the assembly make decision. And so, brethren, thank you very much for listening to me and putting up with me. I try to go slowly so that everybody can pick up. And if there is any question, I'm sure Brother David will, you can bring it to Brother David tonight in that meeting, after meeting, and so we can speak further. The Lord bless his word for his name's sake.